In a moment, a conversation with a Nobel Prize-winning physicist from the University of Texas whose achievements are unquestioned. But what of the next generation of scientists? In higher education, all assumptions are being challenged, especially the intrinsic value of a traditional degree. As rising costs of college are measured against the opportunities available to graduates, there's little doubt that getting a degree is better than not going to college, but the outcomes vary significantly from field to field. In the STEM fields of science, math, engineering, and technology, a presumption of almost unlimited demand for future workers has produced a glut of graduates. Kara Miller is host of Innovation Hub, produced by WGBH and PRI, and she says matching grads to jobs has not been easy.
I think we have heard so much from politicians, from educational leaders, that it's really, really important to get into science, to get into engineering. And then, you know, it turns out that we're actually graduating a lot more people in those areas than we have space for in terms of jobs, which I think is kind of shocking. It was shocking to me. And so those jobs are not quite the golden ticket that we thought they were. I talked to Hal Saltzman about this from Rutgers University, and he actually keeps track every year of the numbers and tries to figure out what the situation is for STEM grads. He said things have gotten a lot better in the last few years since the recession, but they're not great.
We're still graduating many more STEM graduates than there are STEM jobs. So depending on the field, if you're in science, about twice as many, three times as many science graduates at a bachelor's level than find a job. Engineering does better. About two-thirds of engineers end up in an engineering job. And computer science, it's also about two-thirds will end up in a computer science job.
Well, why are tech companies trying to import workers from overseas and petitioning the immigration department, that sort of thing? It seems like there's an imbalance between jobs and available workers.
Right. Well, you know, you've got a few different things going on. With tech companies, I think one of the issues is that the salaries that people want who come out of colleges here and go into computer science jobs are very high. I mean, you see 23-year-olds, 24-year-olds going to work for places like Yahoo and Apple and getting six figures right off the bat. People who come in from other countries may be fairly well-trained, and they may be able to command half or two-thirds that salary. So that's one thing that's going on. The other thing that's going on when you think about more hard science and like coming up with cures for cancer and cures for Alzheimer's, which we certainly need, you've got a little bit of a pyramid system where the people at the top in science, the professors, the people who run those labs, there's very few of those jobs. So we say to kids, hey, science is really important. It's really important to become proficient. But then when they get to the end of the pipeline, they don't find very much there. I talked to Anne Dermott, who is working on a PhD in virology. And she said, you know, it is really, really tough to find a professorial job. Here she is.
The faculty tenure track jobs are very scarce and extremely competitive, and you need to be very flexible about moving wherever in the country those jobs would open up. And I think a lot of students realize that partway through the program. And despite their passion for the research, they realize that it will be more realistic for them to take a different track.
And the different track would be working in industry and in finance?
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, you think about a PhD, which is 5 years. I've talked to so many people, and they have spent 10 years very often doing a PhD and one or two postdocs to get ready for a job as a professor. And in fact, 17% of people who get PhDs in science within 3 years have a stable job as a professor. 17%. That means, yeah, more than 80% of people are trying to figure out where can they go work. And they can find jobs very often, but it's not what they thought they'd be doing. So they're finding jobs on Wall Street. They're finding jobs as consultants. I talked to Peter Yang, who got a PhD in biomedicine. He found a job in a patent law firm.
I think the opportunities are there for people who want to do it. And I think that, if anything, the work needs to be done sort of on the other end of making sure that the people who decide that they don't necessarily want to become professors have the training they need to make a smooth transition to something else.
Do colleges need to warn students of this circumstance here? Does this come as a huge surprise to graduates?
I think it does. So, I think when we're talking about science, I think a lot of people enter those PhD programs thinking, I want to come up with new plastics. You know, I want to tackle Alzheimer's. And it's not till about halfway through that they realize, oh, wait a minute, there really aren't any jobs here. And then they realize that they have to actually look for a job at a hedge fund or a patent law firm or somewhere else. And they often do get those jobs. So that's one thing that's happening. I think in something like computer science, where the job prospects are a lot better, what is also happening is that supply is moving to meet demand. So you look at Stanford, at UC Berkeley, at MIT. In their top few majors now is computer science. And, you know, that is a new thing for Stanford, that was one of the most popular majors. So just as these are becoming really high-paying jobs, you've got kids in droves moving to sort of meet that demand. So I think that is part of what's happening, is that supply is coming along. It's really, really pumping out a lot of kids.
And that's making it a competitive environment, which probably raises salaries, but it still means that some people are going to be left out.
No, that's absolutely true. I mean, always the elite do the best. But I also do think that whether it's science or technology, there does have to be better sort of college counseling on the level of saying, look, you know, you're far along in your program. Honestly, these kinds of jobs are really, really hard to get. So let's try to figure out what other tracks there are. Can you work in nonprofits? What other things? And I think very often people fend for themselves.
Is this going to mean a lot of disappointment for grads this summer as they look forward?
Well, I mean, I don't want to, you know, sort of put a cloud on this all on graduation season here. I just think that it's important to realize that even in these STEM fields, which have been so hyped up, there is keen, keen competition as more and more students say, wow, six-figure salaries, I'd like a piece of that.
Kara Miller is the host of WGBH and PRI's Innovation Hub. Thanks so much, Kara.
Thanks, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.